Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. No, February the 3rd, 2023, or it is the 23rd day of Shavuot, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song pending, and then we'll go into our prayer thought that our main sermon is going to be taken from chapter 8, it says, after the flood. It'll be after the flood, chapter 8, by Patriarchs and Prophets by Ellen G. White. Prayer thoughts taken from Psalms 18. And it says that, I will love thee, O Yahweh, my strength, for Yahweh is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my Yahweh and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Now we're going to start all over, we're going to read that again, prayer thought. When it says L-O-R-D, upper and lower case, the translator is referring to Yahshua the Son. Now, David is talking about Yahshua the Son that he had met. David says, I will love thee, O Yahshua, my strength. For the Yahshua is my rock. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Paul said Yahshua was that rock in the cloud that fathered the children of Israel for 40 years. He said, I will, so David says, for Yahshua is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He is my Yahweh, he is my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon Yahshua, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. For the sorrows of the dead compass me, and the floods of the unrighteous men made me afraid. For the sorrows of hell compass me about, for the snares of the death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Yahshua, and cried unto my Yahshua, for he heard, or cried unto my Yahweh, the Father, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up the smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. For he bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about, him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. As the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. For the offshore also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of the fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Yahshua, at the blast of the breath of thy nostril, for he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. For they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but Yeshua was my stay. He said, He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. For Yeshua rewarded me according unto my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Yeshua, and have not wickedly departed from my Yahweh, the Father. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore hath Yahweh recompensed me according unto my righteousness, according unto the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the forward thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. And that candle is Zechariah 4, the 10th candlestick. That's the candlestick of David. So for thou wilt light my candle, Zechariah 4, the candle with the golden bowl on top of it, with the 7 lamps are burning. Prophecy for the kingdom church's last day. Yeshua will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my Yahweh have I leaped over a wall. As for Yahweh, His way is perfect. The word of Yeshua is tried, for He is a buckler unto all those that trust in Him. For who is the Yahweh save the Yahweh, or who is a rock save our Yahweh? Well, this is all wrong. For who is the Yeshua the Son save the Yeshua Himself, or who is a rock save our Yeshua? It is the Yeshua that girdeth me with the strength and maketh my way perfect. For He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and sitteth me upon my high places. For He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arm. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with the strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemy, that I might destroy them that hate me, for they cried, but there was none to save them. Even unto the Yeshua, but He answered them not. Then did I beat them small, as a dust before the wind. I did cast them out as a dirt in the street. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen, the people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me, for the strangers shall submit themselves unto me, for the strangers shall fade away, and be afraid out of their close places, for the Asher liveth, and blesses be my rock, and let the Asher of my salvation be exalted, for it is the Asher that avengeth me, and subdueth the people under me. For he delivereth me from mine enemy, yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Yahshua, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and he showeth mercy unto his anointed, unto David, and unto his seed forevermore. And we're the seed of David. We're in the 12th parabolic hour. This is the end of our prayer thought. Now we're going to look at our sermon for today. Okay, we're going to change that sermon to a liberal week, chapter 9, Patriarch and Prophet Ellen G. White. This is like the Sabbath, the week originated at the creation, and it has been preserved and brought down unto us through the Bible history. So the Yahweh himself measured off the first week as a sample for the successive weeks unto the close of the time. Like every other, it consisted of the 7 literal days. 6 weeks were employed in the work of the creation. Upon the 7th, Yahweh rested, and he then blessed this day and set apart as a day of the rest for man. And the law given from the Sinai, Yahweh recognized the week and the facts upon which it is based. After giving the command, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and specifying what shall be done on the 6 days and what shall not be done on the 7th, he states the reason for thus observing the week by pointing back unto his own example, for in 6 days, Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rest the 7th day. Wherefore the Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. For this reason appears the beautiful and the forcible when we understand the days of the creation to be literal. For the first 6 days of each week are given unto man for the labor, because the Yahweh employed the same period as the first week in the work of the creation. On the 7th day, man is to refrain from his labor in the commemoration of the Creator's rest. But the assumption that the events of the first week required thousands upon thousands of years strikes directly at the foundation of the fourth commandment, for it represents the Creator as the commanding man for the observance of the week of the literal day and the commemoration of the vast and definite periods. This unlocks his method of dealing with his creatures. It makes indefinite and obscure that which he has made very plain. It is infidelity in its most and sedulous and hence most dangerous form. Its real character is so disguised that it is held and taught by the many who profess to believe the Bible. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. For the Bible recognizes no long ages in which the earth was slowly evolved from. Chaos of each successive day of the creation by the word of the Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. For he commanded, and it stood fast. For the Bible recognizes no long ages in which the earth was slowly evolved from the chaos of each successive day of the creation. The sacred record declares that it consisted of the evening and the morning, like all the other days that have followed. At the close of each day is given the result of the Creator's work, for the statement is made at the close of the first week's record. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. But this does not convey the idea that the days of the creation were other than the literal days. Each day was called a generation because that in it Yahweh generated or produced some new portion of his work. For the geologists claim to find evidence from the earth itself that it is very much older than the Mosaic record teaches. Bones of the men and animals, as well as the instruments of the warfare, petrified trees, etc., much larger than any that now exist or that have existed for the thousands of years, have been discovered. And from that it is inferred that the earth was populated long before the time brought to view and the record of the creation, and by a race of the things vastly superior in size unto any man now existing. Such reasoning has led many professed Bible believers for the adopting of the position that the days of the creation were vast and definite periods. But apart from the Bible history, geology can prove nothing. Those who reason so confidently upon its discoveries have no adequate conception of the size of men, animals, and trees before the flood or of the great changes which then took place. Relics found in the earth to give evidence of the conditions differing in the many respects from the present. But the time when these conditions existed can be learned only from the inspired record. In the history of the flood, inspiration has explained that which geology alone could never fathom. In the days of Noah, men, animals, and trees, many times larger than now exist, were buried and thus preserved as an evidence to later generations that the Antediluvians perished by a flood. So Yahweh designed that the discovery of these things should establish faith in the installed history, that men with their vain reasoning fall into the same error as did the people before the flood. For the things of which Yahweh gave them as a benefit, they turned into a curse by the making of a wrong use of them. It is one of the Satan's devices for the leading of the people, for the accepting of the fables of the infidelity. For he can thus observe the law of Yahweh in itself very plain, and embolden men to rebel against the divine government. For his efforts are especially directed against the fourth commandment, because it so clearly points unto the living Yahweh, the maker of the heavens and the earth. There is a constant effort made for the explaining of the work of the creation as a result of the natural causes, and human's reasoning is accepted even by the professed Christian in the opposition unto the plain scripture, for the facts there are many who oppose the investigation of the prophecies, especially those of the Daniel and the Revelation, declaring them to be so obscure that we cannot understand them. Yet these very persons eagerly receive the suppositions of the geologists and the contradiction of the Mosaic records. But if that which Yahweh had revealed is so difficult to understand, how inconsistent it is to accept a mere supposition in regard unto that which he has not revealed. For the secret things belong unto the Yahweh, or Yahweh, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and unto our children forever. Just how Yahweh accomplished the work of the creation, he has never revealed unto men. For the human science cannot search out the secrets of the Most High. His creative power is as incomprehensible as his existence. For Yahweh has permitted a flood of the light to be poured upon the world in both the science and art. But when professedly scientists, treat upon these subjects from a merely human point of view, they will assuredly come to the wrong conclusion. It may be innocent to speculate beyond what Yahweh's word has revealed. The false theories do not contradict facts found in the scriptures, but those who leave the word of Yahweh and seek for the accounting for his created works upon the scientific principles are drifting without the chart or compass upon an unknown ocean. For the greatest minds, if not guided by the word of Yahweh and their research, become bewildered in their attempt for the tracing of the relations of the signs and revelation. Because the Creator and his works are so far beyond their comprehension that they are unable for explaining them by the natural laws, so they regard the Bible history as unreliable. Those who doubt the reliability of the records of the Old and New Testament will be led to go a step further and doubt the existence of Yahweh and them having lost their anchor. They are left to beat about upon the rocks of the infidelity. For these persons have lost the simplicity of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. I always add that whenever I find this word faith. I add the blood. For there should be a settled belief in the divine authority of Yahweh's holy word. For the Bible is not to be tested by the man's ideas of the science, for the human knowledge is an unreliable guide. Skeptics who read the Bible for the sake of the cavilling may, through an imperfect comprehension of either science or revelation, trying to find the contradictions between them, but rightly understood, they are in the perfect harmony. For the Moses wrote with the guidance of the Spirit of Yahweh, a correct theory of his geology will never claim the discoveries that cannot be reconciled with his statement. All truth, whether in the nature or in the revelation, is inconsistent with itself and all of its manifestations. In the word of the Yahweh, many queries are raised that the most profound scholars can never answer, for the attention is called unto these subjects for the showing us how much there is, even among the common things of the everyday life, that the finite mind, with all of the boasted wisdom, can never fully understand. Yet men of the science think that they can comprehend the wisdom of Yahweh, that which he has done or can do, for the idea largely prevails that he is restricted by his own laws. For the men either deny or ignore his existence, or think to explain everything, even the operation of his spirit upon the human heart, and they no longer reverence his name or through his power, for they do not believe in the supernatural, not understanding Yahweh's laws or his infinite power to work his will through them. As commonly used, the term laws of the nature compromises what the men have been able to discover with regard unto the laws that govern the physical world, but how limited is their knowledge, and how vast the field in which the Creator can work in the harmony with his own laws, and yet wholly beyond the comprehension of the finite of the being. Many teach that the matter possesses vital power, that certain properties are imparted into matter, and it is then left for the action through its own inherent energy, and that the operations of the nature are conducted in the harmony with the fixed laws, with which Yahweh himself cannot interfere. This is falsely signed and is not sustained by the word of Yahweh. Nature is a servant of her Creator. Yahweh does not annul his laws or work contrary unto them, that he is continually using them as his instrument. Nature testifies of an intelligence, a presence, and active energy that works in and through her laws. There is in nature the continued working of the Father and the Son. For Yahshua said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." For the Levites in their hymn recorded by the Nehemiah sang, "Thou, even thou art the Yahweh alone, thou hast made the heaven, the heaven of the heavens with all of their host, for the earth and all things therein, and thou preservest them all." As regards this world, Yahweh's work of the creation is completed, for the works were finished from the foundation of the world. But his energy is still exerted in the upholding of the objects of his creation. It is not because of the mechanism that has once been set into motion continues to act by its own inherent energy, that the pulse beats and breathes follows breath, as breath follows breath, that every breath, every pulsation of the heart is an evidence of the all-pervading terror of him in whom we live and move and have our being. It is not because of the inherent power that year by year the earth produces her boundary and continues her motion around the sun, for the hand of the Yahweh guides the planets and keeps them in the position in their orderly march through the heaven. For he bringeth out their host by the number, for he calleth them all by the name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. It is through his power that vegetation flourishes, that the leaves appear and the flowers bloom. He maketh grass to grow upon the mountain, and by him the valleys are made fruitful. All the beasts of the forest seek their meat from the Yahweh, and every living creature from the smallest insect up unto man is daily dependent upon his providential care. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, these wait all upon thee, that thou givest them they give. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with the good. His word controls the elements. He covers the heavens with a cloud and prepares rain for the earth. He giveth snow like the wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like the ashes. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of the waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning with the rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Yahweh is the foundation of everything. All true schemes is in the harmony with his word. All true education leads unto obedience to be to his government. Science opens new wonders to our view. She soars high and explores new depths, but she brings nothing from her research that conflicts with the divine revelation. Figures may seek to support the false views of Yahweh by the appeals unto science, but the book of the nature and the written word shed light upon each other. They say, we are thus led for the adoring of the Creator and for the having of an intelligent trust in his word. For no finite mind can fully comprehend the existence with the power of the wisdom, or with the works of the infinite one, says the sacred writer. Canst thou by the searching find out to Yahweh? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as the heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? For the mountain, for the measure thereof is longer than the earth, and broader than the sea. For the mightiest intellects of the earth cannot comprehend the Yahweh's men, and may be ever searching, ever learning, and still there is an infinity beyond. Yet the works of the creation testifies unto Yahweh's power and greatness, for the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Those who take the written words as their counselor will find in science an aid for the understanding of Yahweh. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even unto his eternal power and Godhead. This is the end of our chapter number 9. We're going to go on into chapter number 10, entitled The Tower of Babel. Patriarchs and Prophets, Ellen G. White. We're on page 117 of her book, where it says, for the repeopling of the desolate earth that the flood has so lately swept from the moral corruption, Yahweh had preserved but one family of the household of Noah, unto whom he had declared, these have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Yet in the three sons of the Noah was speedily developed the same great destination, or the distinction seen in the world before the flood, and the Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who were to be the founders of the human race, was foreshadowed the character of their posterity. Noah, speaking by the divine inspiration, foretold the history of the three great races to spring from these fathers of the mankind, tracing the descendants of Ham through the son rather than the father. He declared, cursed be the king, for a servant of the servants shall he be unto his brethren, for the unnatural crimes of the Ham declared that filial reverence had long before been cast from his soul, and it revealed the impiety and vileness of his character. These evil characteristics were perpetrated in the Canaan and his posterity, whose continued guilt called upon them the judgment of the other. On the other hand, the reverence manifested by the Shem and Japheth for their father, and thus for the divine statues, have promised a brighter future for their descendants. Concerning these sons, it was declared, blessed be the Yahweh of the Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. For the Yahweh shall inherit Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. For the line of Shem was to be that of the chosen people of the Yahweh's covenant of the promised Redeemer. For the Yahweh is the Yahweh of the Shem. From him would descend the Abraham and the people of Israel, through whom Yahshua is to come. Happy is that people whose Yahweh is the Yahweh. And Jacob shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and the blessing of the teaching of the Father's service, the blood of the everlasting covenant, unto the descendants of the Japheth, were especially for the posterity of the Canaan, descending unto the most degrading forms of the heathenism. Though the prophetic curse had doomed them to slavery, the doom was withheld for the centuries. For the Yahweh bore with their impiety and corruption until they passed the limits of the divine forbearance. Then they were dispossessed and became the bondmen unto the descendants of Shem and Japheth. For the prophecies of the Noah was no arbitrary denunciation of the wrath or declaration of the favor. It did not fix the character and destiny of his son, but it showed what would be the result of the course of life they had severally chosen and the character they had developed. It was an expression of the Yahweh's purpose toward them and their posterity in the view of their own character and conduct. As a rule, children inherit the disposition and tendencies of their parents and initiate their example, so that the sins of the parents are practiced by the children from the generation to generation. Thus, the violence and the irreverence of Ham was reproduced in his posterity, bringing a curse upon them for the many generations. One sinner destroyeth much good. On the other hand, how richly rewarded was Hashem's respect for his father, and what an illustrious line of the holy men appears in his posterity. For the Yeshua knoweth the days of the upright, and his seed is blessed. Know therefore that the Yahweh is he is the Yahweh, as the faithful Yahweh, which keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments until a thousand generations. Now let's do that again. This is actually talking about Yahshua the Son. Now let's read this in the light of that. For the Yahshua knoweth the days, the Son of the Yahweh knoweth the days of the upright, and his seed is blessed. Know therefore that the Yahshua, thy Redeemer, by his blood, he is the King of Israel, as the faithful King, which keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments unto a thousand generations. Now what does Yahshua the Son say in John 15:10? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the Son has commandments, and they're found in the sanctuary with the sacrificial system of the blood offering. Okay? And that's found on those laws of those statutes and judgments and holy days, Sabbath days, new moon. They're found in Leviticus 23:1-44. For a time, the descendants of Noah continued for the dwelling among the mountains where the ark had rested. As their numbers increased, apostasy soon led unto division. Those who desired to forget their Creator and to cast off the restraint of His law felt a constant annoyance from the teaching and example of the Yahweh-fearing associates, and after a time they decided to separate from the worshippers of Yahweh. Accordingly, they journeyed into the plain of the Shinar. On the banks of the river Euphrates, they were attracted by the beauty of the situation and the fertility of the soil, and upon this plain they determined to make their home. Here they decided to build a city, and in it a tower of such tenderest heart that should render it the wonder of the world. For these enterprises were designed for the preventing of the people from the scattering abroad of the colonies, for Yahweh had directed men for the dispersion throughout the earth, for the replenishing and for the subduing it. But these Babel builders determined to keep their community united in the one body and to found a monarchy that should eventually embrace the whole earth. Thus this city would become the metropolis of a universal empire. Its glory would command the admiration and homage of the world and render the founders illustrious, for the magnificent tower reaching into the heavens was intended to stand as a monument of the power and wisdom of its builders, perpetuating their fame unto the latest generation. For the dwellers on the plain of Shinar disbelieved the Yahweh's covenant of the blood, the everlasting covenant of Yahshua his son, that he would not again bring a flood upon the earth. Okay. For the many of them denied the existence. Let's read that again, the whole paragraph. For the dwellers of the plain of the Shinar disbelieved the Yahweh's covenant that he made with the Noah, that he would never again destroy the earth by a flood, that he would again bring a flood upon the earth. Many of them denied the existence of Yahweh and attributed the flood unto the operation of the natural causes. Others believed in a supreme being, and that it was he who had destroyed the antediluvian world, and their hearts, like that of the Cain, rose up in the rebellion against him. One object before them in the erection of the tower was to secure their own safety in the case of another deluge by the tearing of the structure unto a much greater height than was reached by the waters of the flood. They thought to place themselves beyond all possibility of the danger, and as they would be able for the ascending into the region of the clouds, they hoped to ascertain the cause of the flood. For the whole undertaking was designed for the exalting still further the pride of its projectors, and for the turning of the minds of the future generation away from the Yahweh and lead them into idolatry. This is where we're at today in the world. The whole world has convulsed into idolatry. They have been in idolatry ever since Ham, the second son of Noah, was created this side of the flood. When the tower had been partially completed, a portion of it was occupied as a dwelling place for the builders. Others' apartments, splendidly furnished and adorned, were devoted unto their idols, for the people rejoiced in their success and praised the gods of the silver and gold, and set themselves against the ruler of the heaven and earth. Suddenly the work that had been advancing so prosperously was checked. Angels were sent for the bringing of the unto naught the purpose of the builder, for the tower had reached a lofty height, and it was impossible for the workmen at the top to communicate directly with those at the base. Therefore, men were stationed at the different points, each to receive a report unto the one next below him, the orders for the needed materials or other directions concerning the work. As the messages were thus passing from one to another, the language was confounded so that a material was called for which was not needed, and the direction delivered were often the reverse of those that had been given. For the confusion and dismay followed, all work came to a standstill. There could be no further harmony or cooperation, for the builders were wholly unable to account for the strange misunderstanding among them, and in their rage and disappointment, they approached one another, for their confederacy ended in the strife and bloodshed. Lightning from the heaven as an evidence of Yahweh's displeasure broke off the upper portion of the tower and cast it onto the ground. For the men were made to feel that there is a Yahweh who ruleth in the heaven. Up until this time, all men have spoken the same language. Now those that could understand one another, speech united in the companies, some went one way and some another, for the Yahweh scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, for the dispersion was the means of the peeping of the earth, and thus Yahweh's purpose was accomplished through the very means that men had employed for the preventing of its fulfillment. But at what a loss unto those who had set themselves against Yahweh, for it was his purpose that as men should go forth for the founding of the nation in the different parts of the earth, he should carry with them a knowledge of his will, and the light of the truth, that the light of the truth might shine undimmed for the succeeding generation. For the Noah, as a faithful preacher of the righteousness, lived for the 350 years after the flood, or the Shem for the 500 years, and thus their descendants had an opportunity to become acquainted with the requirements of the Yahweh and the history of his dealings with their fathers. That they were unwilling to listen unto their unpalatable truths, for they had no desire for the return of Yahweh and their knowledge, and by confusion of the tongues, they were in a great measure shut out from the intercourse of those who might have given them life. For the Babel builders had indulged in the spirit of the murmuring against Yahweh, and instead of the greatly remembering his mercy unto Adam and his gracious covenant with Noah, they had complained of his severity and the expelling of the first pair from the Eden and destroying the world by a flood. But while they murmured against Yahweh as arbiter, surely and severe, But while they murmured against Yahweh arbitrary and severe, they were with the exception of the rule of the cruelest of the tyrant, for the Satan was seeking for the bringing contempt upon the sacrificial offerings that prefigured the death of Yeshua, and as the minds of the people were darkened by the idolatry, there you have it again, idolatry, he led them to counterfeit these offerings and sacrifice their own children upon the altars of their gods, as men turned away from Yahweh, the divine attributes, with the justice, purity, and love were supplemented by the oppression, violence, and brutality. For the men of Babel had determined for the establishing of a government that should be independent of Yahweh. There were some among them, however, who feared the Yahweh, but who had been deceived by the pretensions of the unrighteous and drawn into their scheme. For the sake of these faithful ones, Yahweh just delayed his judgment. His judgment, and gave the people time for the revealing of their true character as these were developed. For the sons of Yahweh had labored for the turning them from their purpose, but the people were fully united in their heaven-daring undertaking. Had they gone on unchecked, they would have demoralized the world and its infancy. For their confederacy was founded in the rebellion, for a kingdom established for their self-exaltation, but in which Yahweh was to have no rule or honor. Had the confederacy been permitted, a mighty power would have borne sway for the banishing of righteousness, and with it, peace, happiness, and security from the earth. For the divine statutes, which are holy and just and good, men were endeavoring for the substituting the laws for the suiting of the purpose of their own selfish and cursed hearts. This brings in verse 8, this hour contact us, the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on the audio archive, share this message and more. And we'll close now. Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now I'm at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November the 21st, 2015, or it is 6/10/2019. We will start our third service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, The Last Mile of the Way. If I walked in the pathway of duty, if I worked till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty. I've gone the last mile of the way. I've gone the last mile of the way. I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me. When I've gone the last mile of the way. Before Yahshua I proclaim the glad story, I seek for a sheep gone astray, and sure He will show me His glory. when I've gone but a small of the way. When I've gone but a small of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. In the dearest of ties we must sever, if the song was seen every day, but it was set, there's no sign forever when I've gone the last mile away. I've gone the last mile of the way. I will rest at the close of the day, when only in his beauty, when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven, God always will to obey. The rapture of heaven, when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and all the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile.